Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Let's do some fantasy football. Tony, let's go! This hour of the show is being brought to you by Mattress Firm, where your budget stretches further. And go get yourself some tickets to go see Northwestern. They got a good home schedule. You should check them out. NUSports.com is where you can go get some tickets to see the Northwestern Wildcats. Week three for most teams in the NFL as far as the preseason goes. The Bears are in week four because they played in the Hall of Fame game. That means that we're getting real close to draft time. I've always been in leagues that haven't drafted until after that fourth game and rosters are kind of set. Some people draft before. Some people are in keeper leagues. I know this. So I thought that I would offer you some help. Not for me, because I don't win leagues. I'm bad. Michael Beller, on the other hand, is a fantasy sports expert. He writes for Sports Illustrated. He is based here in Chicago. He's a good man and thorough. And if you have questions for him, you can call up 312-644-6767 is the number. Mr. Beller, thank you for joining me tonight.
You got it, Lawrence. Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you. I am so ready for this football season to get here.
How many leagues are you going to play in this year?
So I actually just set up my spreadsheet for the season. I do need a spreadsheet so I don't make sure I don't miss anything, setting any lineups or making any waiver claims. I've got 10 leagues that I'll have to actually maintain throughout the season. I've got a couple others that are just drafts, and you don't make any moves after you do the draft. It's just whatever you've got. They're called best ball leagues. So I got a couple of those. And then I'm also in 11 various survivor pools, pick them against the spread stuff. It's a busy time of year for me.
It is. So how do you deal with that on a week-to-week basis if you have one guy in one league and one guy in another league?
Yeah, that's going to happen. That's going to happen for people who have two or three leagues, let alone 10 like me. So you just got to pick and choose what your priorities are. I've got a league with the friends who I grew up with. This is our 21st year at it. We started when we were in eighth grade. So when I'm sitting there on Sundays watching football, that's the league that's in my head. That's the players who I'm tracking most closely. And then, of course, I've got my eye on all my other leagues. But basically, you got to pick the league or two that are most important to you, worry about those, and then let the chips fall where they may in the others.
Okay, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. What trends are you seeing around fantasy drafts, or what do you expect to see throughout this year when people start playing?
You know, a few things really have jumped out at me this summer. One is this need that a lot of people are feeling to get running backs early. You know, we know about Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, these four running backs who have really set themselves ahead of the pack. And then you've got the second tier guys, or maybe second and third tier, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, this other group of guys that people are really feeling that they need to get because the position drops off so strongly after that. So what that's doing in turn is pushing down the elite wide receivers, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, basically any elite wide receiver who isn't named Antonio Brown is coming at a little bit of a discount compared with where they've been going the last couple of years. Now, by discount, we're still talking late first, early second, but these were guys who were, you know, fifth, sixth overall picks in recent years. So really seeing these running backs jump way back up draft boards, and what that's doing, sort of the domino effect that that trickles down for the entire rest of the draft, is going to govern, I think, a lot of drafts that all of us are in.
How do you value rookies?
You know, it's a case-by-case basis. Someone like Saquon Barkley is just full steam ahead. You don't do what he did at Penn State, be the number two overall pick, get into an offense where you're going to probably touch the ball 350 times, and really fall short of expectations. So someone like him, I don't really worry too much about him being a rookie. I mean, we saw what Zeke did 2 years ago, what Kareem Hunt and Kamara did last year. You're a talented guy. You're in the right situation. You're going to do fine. I think Barkley is a guy like that. Now, other rookies, and he's really the one guy who was in that situation this season, it really is a case-by-case basis. So I'll give you a good example. Royce Freeman in Denver. He might not necessarily be the second most talented running back, but you look at that Denver roster, if Devontae Booker has had a couple of years with opportunity to really distinguish himself, he hasn't done it. You look at the rest of the running back depth chart, there's no one there who they're really going to want to feature. It's only Royce Freeman, this guy who's a third-round pick who had a nice career at Oregon, could be playing his way into a 300-touch-plus role. And so much of what matters for a running back is forget about how good they are, forget about how good the team is. How many times is this guy going to touch the ball? Because he's going to touch the ball 15 or 18 times a game. He doesn't even really need to do that much with those touches. He's just going to rack up so much volume. So it really does depend on where the guy is and what that team is going to ask him. That's why I like Royce Freeman, even though maybe in a vacuum, I think Rashad Penny or Kerryon Johnson is a better pure running back. Freeman's in a better situation. So you really have to look at these guys, where they are, what the team's going to ask of them, and evaluate them from there.
So where are you drafting Saquon Barkley?
For me, I would take him 7th overall, and I had him 6th. But this hamstring injury is starting to be a little bit worrisome. I don't want to push him down too far. I think the top three backs for me, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, I think they have to be the first three picks. I would take Antonio Brown over Zeke. Plenty of people would take Zeke over Antonio Brown, but for me that's a 4-5 and a pretty easy 4-5. After that, that's where I did have Barkley. I get a little concerned about this hamstring injury, so I'll push him down a spot, and I like Alvin Kamara in there bumping up a little bit. The efficiency last year was off the charts. That's probably not going to be the case. I don't think we're going to see too much of a volume bump for him with the Mark Ingram suspension. Jonathan Williams probably going to step into the Mark Ingram role the first 4 weeks of the year. But Kamara, with that offense, is still going to, I think, be a really lethal fantasy player. And then I would still put Barkley right there. Again, I don't mean to belabor the point, but so crucial for running backs. And as long as Barkley's healthy, as long as he can put this hamstring behind him, he is going to touch the ball 350 times this year. And you give a guy like that that many opportunities, he's going to give you big, big things this season.
Michael Bella of Sports Illustrated joining me here on The Score. We are talking fantasy football. If you're getting ready for your draft and you've got some questions on what you should do and how you should approach it, or if you're in a keeper league, he's here to help. 312-644-6767 is the number. What player coming off injury do you think is going to have the best season and best fantasy season?
Yeah, I understand why there would be a little bit of trepidation with Deshaun Watson. I don't have it. I understand the argument for it, but I do not share it one bit. I mean, we all saw what this guy did once he took over as the starter. Best player on the field in basically every single game that he played as the starter for Houston, putting up 35 points per game. He had that offense in 6 starts, putting up just shy of 400 yards per game, dropped 57 points on the Titans, dropped 38 on Seattle. I mean, this is a guy who brought that offense, not just to another level, but to a level that few offenses really ever reach. I mean, when we saw what Atlanta did in 2016, and that's the level that he had this Houston offense operating on. I really think his ACL injury last year was one of the most devastating injuries. You know, take fandom out of it, just for being a football fan and enjoying the sport and enjoying the game, to have him be sort of ripped away right in the middle of the season he was having was really a loss for all football fans. But he has had no complications from the ACL this summer. He has been playing without a brace, doing basically everything they would ask of him. And, I mean, that game where he was against Seattle, he was a better quarterback than Russell Wilson in that game. And that's no knock on Russell Wilson. Russell had a great game that day, too, and we know what sort of quarterback he is. But I just think that Deshaun Watson really could be a very special player for the next 10 or 12 years, and I am so excited to see what he is going to do this year. You give him someone like DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Lamar Miller in the backfield. Great offense. They beefed up the offensive line. That was really one of the few weaknesses of that team, and they went out and they got 3 new starters on that line. I really think that's going to be a great team. It all starts with Watson. I can't wait to see what he brings us this season.
Michael Beller is a must-follow if you're a fantasy player. At MBeller is where you can find him on Twitter. We're going to try to talk with him once a week throughout the season to get you the help that you need. Let's go out to Lake Geneva and talk with Jay. Jay, you're on with Michael Beller. What's your question?
Hey, my question is, I got the first pick in the draft, and I'm pretty much leaning towards Le'Veon Bell or maybe Gurley. But my bigger question, this is standard scoring. It's not a keeper league. But on the wraparound, I got the last pick in the second and the first pick in the third. What should I be looking for?
So my theory, and I think it's a good one, it's one that has served me well, is early in drafts, you don't worry about position. Wide receiver, I mean, you worry about position in that you don't want to take a quarterback that early. You probably don't want to take a tight end unless his name is Rob Gronkowski. But between backs and receivers, you don't worry about the position. What you want there are the best stat accumulators you can find. 100 yards rushing, 100 yards receiving, they're worth the same. A touchdown through the air, a touchdown on the ground, they're worth the same. And so much is going to happen through the middle and end of your draft, in the early season, once guys start getting injured on the waiver wire, there's going to be so much roster turn that it's silly to worry about exact positions early. So for me, if I'm you, first I'm taking Le'Veon Bell, a top three running back three of the last 4 years. I think he's the easy number one pick, as great as Todd Gurley was last season. And then I'm just looking at the absolute best available backs and receivers. If it happens to be two more backs, then it's two more backs. If it's two receivers, it's two receivers. If it's one of each, but you've got to pick the best stat accumulators you can find. You can worry about positions later in your draft and into September and October. Second and third round is no time to worry about specific positions. Just go get guys who are going to get you points.
A texter wants to know your thoughts on Sony Michel.
So Sony Michel is one of the more interesting players in the league from a fantasy perspective, right, Lawrence? Because we know what the Patriots do, and we know that they value those draft picks so highly, and we know that running back is not a position where in this entire Brady Belichick era they've invested very much, right? I mean, they had the 1 year with Corey Dillon where they really had this big back. They had the 1 year where Stephen Ridley had a big year out of nowhere. But they've never really invested too many resources in the position. So to see them go out and use a first-round pick on Sony Michel when they had already signed Jeremy Hill, when they had Rex Burkhead coming back, when they love what James White does, it sort of tells you that they want to use this guy. But having said that, there are still a ton of other mouths to feed, not only in the backfield, but Chris Hogan, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman when he comes back. It's a diverse offense, and it's going to be one that always has a pretty wide usage tree. So it's sort of hard. There's two sides of this coin for Sony Michel, and you could sort of see it landing on either side for him. For me, I think he's appropriately priced. He's coming off the board in a 12-team draft, middle of the fifth, early sixth round. I think that's a fair price for Sony Michel, and I'm willing to take the shot on him there. I would feel better about him if my first four picks were pretty safe, high-floor guys, and I had enough of a foundation where I could take a risk, because if Michel turns into sort of what Deion Lewis was for them last year, then he could be a league winner. But there is a very low floor because of all the other guys and because of what we know they like out of Rex Burkhead. So he's the sort of guy who, if I've got a strong foundation, I'm much more willing to take in that fifth round. If I've got a couple of risky high-upside guys, and I probably go elsewhere, because he really does have a very wide range of possible outcomes this season.
Talking with Michael Beller of Sports Illustrated. Follow him on Twitter, at MBeller. Let's go to Antioch and talk with James. James, you're on with Michael Beller.
Evening, Loho, and evening, Mike. So I had the third pick in one draft and the fourth in the other. I figured Johnson, Bell, or Gurley will fall to me where I got the third, but in that fourth pick, I'm thinking I'm going to be stuck between Zeke and Antonio Brown. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on Zeke with all the injuries to offensive line and kind of a lack of a wide receiving core.
Yeah, so I said it off the top that I would take Antonio Brown over Zeke, and you know Zeke's great, and they're going to ask a lot of him again this season. I think they're going to ask more of him as a receiver because of sort of the dearth of good pass catchers that they have in Dallas. But you mentioned, I mean, that offensive line has been the strength of that team for the last couple of years. They are absolutely racked by injury. You could be looking at three starters or three expected starters who aren't out there for them week one. And then you look up and down that offense outside of Zeke and Dak Prescott. I mean, there is not a lot of skill position talent. I think that team has a very low floor this season. I think that could be one of the worst teams in the NFC if things break against them. And the last thing you want to do early in fantasy drafts is introduce an unnecessary amount of risk. And Antonio Brown is a zero-risk player. Since he became the guy who we know him to be, which has been the last five seasons, we're talking about a season average of 107 catches, 1,400 yards, and 11 touchdowns. I mean, there is no doubt whatsoever about what Antonio Brown is going to give you. I grant that Zeke probably has a higher ceiling because of what running backs do, because of what workhorse running backs get in terms of opportunity. But there are no, you plug Antonio Brown in and you have a first-round player locked in 100%. I'm not sure we can say that about Ezekiel Elliott this season. I would go with Brown over Zeke.
A texter wants to know, Michael, what's your advice on what to spend in an auction league?
So one thing you really have to do in an auction league is sort of plan out a budget beforehand. The standard amount of money for an auction is $200, $200 fake dollars that you use to bid. So if we're talking a traditional league, I really do like a stars and scrubs approach where I'm going to go and try to get a couple of, you know, guys who in a draft would be first and second rounders. I want to get those guys because that's how you win fantasy leagues. You win with studs. And it's good to have depth throughout the season, especially when the bye week portion of the year hits. But you win your league with superstars. So I'm going to go and try to get guys like that and spend as little as possible on my quarterback, on my tight end, defensive kicker if you have them, are obviously $1 positions. And you really allocate the vast amount of your money to your starting lineup and to running back and wide receiver. Generally, I try to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of about 85% of my money on my starting lineup, and then I trust that those superstars are, A, going to stay healthy, of course, and B, be as good as I expect them to be. I really think that is the most bankable strategy in an auction. It's not going to work every time, but I think it's the best way to approach it.
One more question from Michael Beller. It comes from Chad in Peoria. Hey, Chad, you're on the score.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, I've been doing a lot of the mock drafts and stuff, and I've noticed maybe towards the top of the draft, if I can get Antonio Brown to start and then come around and get, like, a Devontae Adams or Keenan Allen towards the top, seems like there's a lot more maybe running back depth as you go down to where if you miss out on some of these top receivers, you kind of end up with garbage towards the bottom. Then I was going to see what you thought about Lamar Miller, too.
Yeah, so I love that start. I love a big-time wide receiver start. It's sort of what I talked about a couple questions ago with you don't really care about positions. You want to get stat accumulators. And with everyone going after, you know, the running backs that we listed, sort of those top seven or eight running backs, it's pushing down. I think Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen are two great examples of guys who are coming probably cheaper than they should be. Devontae Adams has the most touchdown receptions in the NFL the last 2 years. And he had eight games with Brett Hundley last year. And the year before that, he was still second banana to Jordy Nelson. And he still got 22 touchdowns the last two seasons. Now he's the number one receiver with what I believe is the best quarterback in the NFL. He's going to have, I think, a monster season. Keenan Allen, the same number one receiver in what should be a great offense, playing with one of the most underappreciated players in the last 12 years, and Phillip Rivers. And both those guys are going to be great. So if you can get them, if you're thinking Antonio Brown, I assume you're sitting in the middle of your draft. I love those two guys as a start. Lamar Miller is one of my, you know, sort of pet players this season. I think he is going to be excellent. And it goes back to what we were talking about with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is going, I think, to be a major engine for that Houston offense. And you look at the running back depth chart in Houston, Deontay Foreman's probably going to start the season on the PUP list. He ruptured his Achilles in November. The next running back is Alfred Blue. Lamar Miller is looking at 320, 350 touches with maybe a generational quarterback, a guy who is such a running threat himself that he opens up all these running lanes. He's going to get plenty of work in the passing game. I really think that Lamar Miller is a guy who is going off the board about running back 20, running back 22 right now. I think he's a top 10 running back waiting to happen because of the opportunity that is going to be there for him in Houston and because of the fact that he has always been better than he has shown us in Houston. You go back to his Miami days, he had a couple of really good years there. I really think that this is the year that everything comes together for him in Houston.
How can people take a look at all of your projections and draft boards?
So, as you said, you can find me on Twitter at mbeller and then si.com. We have a ton of great stuff for you. We've broken down all of our rankings into tiers. We've got draft strategy, auction strategy, super flex strategy. We have a stable of writers from a great website called 4for4 Football, 4for4.com. They are contributing to us this season. Got a really great, sharp, analytical eye on the fantasy game. You can find all of that on si.com/fantasy. We're here to hopefully help you win. We got two more weeks before the season starts, and it's going to be a really exciting time leading up to the start of the year.
Michael, as always, I appreciate it. Hopefully we will be able to do this as frequently as possible throughout the football season.
Absolutely, Lawrence. I don't mind if the Cubs preempt us a little bit.
I know you don't.
That, outside of that, I'm cool. I want to be with you as much as I can.
Right on, my man. I'll talk to you soon. That's Michael Beller of Sports Illustrated. Good man. Huge Cub fan. Huge Cub fan. Follow him on Twitter, M. Beller. Hey, while I was talking with Michael, the Bears tweeted out something that is interesting. Either Matt Nagy is a genius or an idiot. I'll explain next here on The Score. I only got a half an hour left, and I am going to eat up most of that talking about what the Bears just tweeted out. I think you might find it interesting, especially if you have tickets to tomorrow's game on the lakefront. This from your Chicago Bears. After their best week of practice so far in 2018, Matt Nagy met with the team today to inform them most starters, including Mitchell Trubisky, will not play in Kansas City versus Bears. Coach Nagy and his staff had planned for this all week, giving starters on both sides of the ball extra reps. Bold move, Matt Nagy. Larry Mayer, who writes for ChicagoBears.com, echoed those sentiments and added this. Nagy and the coaching staff were planning all week to rest the first string players Saturday, so he gave them extra work in practice this week and was satisfied with what they accomplished. This is one of the problems with the NFL preseason. You're paying full price tickets for tomorrow, and you were hoping you would at least get to see Mitch. Like, if you were going to go to a preseason game, this was the one to go to.
Yeah, and the Bears, this is the Bears' first preseason game.
Okay.
At home, sorry. So it's the first hosting chance. So I have two tickets here, and I was never going to go, and I'm trying to pass it on to my sister. She's like, nah, I'm good.
I can find someone who can take those tickets if you don't want them, Herbie. I can find somebody.
You sure?
But I will say this. I was planning on going tomorrow because I'm taking over NBC Sports Chicago's Twitter feed tomorrow. Why am I going tomorrow? I can do that from the crib. So that's the fan side of it. That you're like, oh, man, I was going down to Soldier Field yesterday to see Mitchell Trubisky, and he's not even going to play.
Psych.
I know. Here's the football element to it. It's a bold strategy. It's not unprecedented. The Rams did it last year. And you know the Bears are exactly like the Rams because Mr. Trubisky is Jared Goff, right? I guess you don't want to put your stuff on tape. Remember at the beginning of the preseason when I was like, preseason is meaningless? I meant that for us. I didn't mean that for them. If the Bears think that they are ahead of the curve when it comes to their tightness because they had a good week of practice, God bless them. I will tell them that the tape from last week in Denver says there is a lot to work on and that live reps against another team might be valuable.
I remember somebody always telling me every single NFL player that we've ever had saying, there's something much different from game speed to practice speed.
Yep. It's fine. It's an interesting way to go about preparing your team. But I tell you this, as we sit here tonight, is it August 24th? He better look right opening night. It better look right against Green Bay.
Excited,
it better
man.
Not be sloppy. I don't want to hear any excuses. I don't want to hear that Mitchell Trubisky didn't get a lot of reps in the preseason. I don't want to hear, well, Allen Robinson didn't really play a lot in the preseason. I don't want to hear, well, we didn't have Roquan Smith play a lot in the preseason. You know, guys are still getting used to it. You better be ready when the season starts. I am predisposed to liking Matt Nagy. I like him. I think he's creative, and I think this might be an example of his creativity. But your bleep better look right when you open up against Green Bay. And if it doesn't, I am telling you, I will be here for it.
They better look amazing against Green Bay.
Yeah, you guys got a night post game, right?
Oh, yeah. Me, Alex, Lance, and Matt Forte.
Man, but Matt Forte gets to break into some fury.
But even after that, when I come back here the next day, it better look right. If you're going to buck trends, and I'm all for it, be a trendsetter. You know, go be creative. I am not an NFL head coach, and Matt Nagy wasn't one either until a few months ago. But we saw that game against Denver, and we saw what your team looked like. Your quarterback dropped a snap in the end zone because he was looking the other way. He was looking at the protection and where blitzes were coming from.
Dan Weeder brings up a great point. He says Mitch Trubisky has 12 NFL games under his belt. Will jump into season two with fewer than three dozen plays in game action in the preseason with a brand new offense.
Correct.
And a bunch of new players around.
Correct. They think that the work that they have done in Bourbonnais and Hallis Hall is more valuable. And he's not entirely wrong about that. There are a lot of coaches who feel that their practices are more important than some of these preseason games. But I will tell you, it better be right. I also think that it's a bold statement for the Bears to send this out. And I'm wondering if this is preemptive to be like, hey, we know it sucks that you got tickets for tomorrow, but we're not going to play anybody. We're just not. We're not doing that.
Wasn't last week we were just talking about their center problems?
Hey, Cody White here. I'm not blaming Cody for the safety. That's on Mitch. But, you know, he's a veteran quarterback at this point, right? Got it all figured out in the new system.
Yo, this is on national television.
Man. It better look right against Green Bay.
I can understand it. The defense sitting out.
Sure.
They've been together for a while.
Absolutely.
They understand the game plan and the concepts. Know who Green Bay is going to bring to the table. Vic Fangio's been here for a while. You got offensive coordinators new. Your coach is new. The quarterback's pretty new.
Your mechanism is new. The system that you're running on offense is new.
Tight end is new.
But what they're telling you is that they feel like they got more done this week in practice than they would tomorrow at the game.
We got this.
That's a bold stance by your Chicago Bears. Bold.
I'm for it. I'm with it.
I know you are, yeah. Tony. But that should scare the Bears that you're with it.
See, this is the thing. It's in the same light of Ryan Pace trading up to get Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, I thought you were going to go the other way. I thought you were going to say the T word.
No.
But that this isn't Trestman-esque?
No.
Okay.
It's Ryan Pace trying to, you know, solve the problem of quarterback and saying, oh, this, I know what I'm doing. Let me get this quarterback. And if it works, I'm a genius.
Because you know who used to love talking about the importance of practice versus games, right? Mark Trestman. Loved it. That's why they practiced indoors all the time, because he wanted sharp practices. It didn't matter that their game was going to be outside.
And this screams that he's scared of injuries, too. He can't be scared of injuries
in the
NFL.
No. There's an argument for that, Herbie, and you saw it last night. Ty God got himself hurt, and for some reason, you threw him back in the game. Not you or you, Darvish. Threw him back in the game. There's a lot to consider.
Can't play football scared.
But man, yes you can. Sure you can.
It happens
every year.
Get hurt.
Not all the time. I look forward to your calls after the game against Green Bay. I'm already there. I'm already looking forward to your calls the next day. Who's in here after the game? Will ZPAC be in here after the game, after the post?
No.
No, because the night game, right?
No, I mean, we'll probably have somebody like a hub or
I mean, we have our post game, but then after that.
Just like Les.
I'll be Les. I look forward to your call. I am already. Thank you, Chicago Bears. Because I'm in it now. I love it. I love it. I cannot wait. Because maybe we will walk away from that game and we'll be here on Monday talking about, you know what? Matt Nagy is a blank, blank genius.
All right. We got 30 minutes that day because the Cubs play at 7:05 versus the Brewers.
Hey, 600-01. I'm just going to give the phone number out. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, and I'm not even here that day.
Where are you at?
Seattle.
What? Who booked that? Who allowed that vacation? That's insane.
I'm more for the Cubs post game than the Bears garbage first couple games.
No. This is now an event. They're going to be on national TV.
Tony will take it.
The first time. The first bad snap. The first false start. Your team's all buttoned up, huh? Got it. Hey, George, you're on the score.
It's actually Jordan, but.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jordan. Hang on. Let's try it again. 3-2-1. Hey, Jordan, you're on the score.
Sounds good. How's it going?
Things are good.
Good. Hey, you know what? I'm tired of Matt Nagy already.
Right, what?
I'm tired of him. I was thinking about what you said, Lawrence, probably a month ago or something or whatever. Once camp started, you were saying something about the helmets or something about that on the field or whatever.
Yeah, he's very buttoned up. He's very a little bit OCD when it comes to the way that practice goes, what it looks like, and stuff can't be on the field, and shirts have to be tucked in, and a lot of that stuff.
Exactly. You say that's very Trestman-like, you know. And I've been thinking about that, and then you know everything that's been transpired, and you know since then, like for instance, he did an interview. They was asking about Pat Mahomes to compare him to Trubisky. He talked about Pat Mahomes the whole time, never said anything about Trubisky. You know, so you know he. I don't know if you heard that interview or not yet, but it was kind of alarming. You know, but for right now, you know, to me, in 2 or 3 years, it's going to be a whole new regime. I just feel it. I feel it in my bones. I hope I'm wrong. I'm sure everybody hopes that we're wrong. But I think in 2 or 3 years, we're going to have a whole other regime because I don't know if this guy is going to do anything.
I appreciate the phone call, Jordan. This texter says, easy, Chappie. Who's Chappie? We don't know what's going to happen. Think about the injury risk, Lawrence. Why the bleep would you want players injured? Did I say that I want players injured? I just think that they need the work against a team that's trying to stop and tackle them. That's all. I also think that this could be successful. I just don't have a lot of faith that it will be. It is a bold, bold move.
That's what makes it so great, because it's going to give us specifically content. Either way, it could go really well.
Our show is already, Tony,
really bad.
Our show is already programmed. Is that September 10th? Monday, September 10th? Our show is done. I can cross that off my list of things to do.
They better hope Aaron Rodgers don't get a hold of this.
I mean, already Aaron's going to smoke him. You know, he's the best quarterback in the game. But secondly, they better not have any interceptions, false starts. It better look crisp.
Let me ask you a question.
Good.
Have you seen Allen Robinson play?
Not at all.
Okay.
I've barely seen Kevin White play.
No, he's played a lot. He played 31 snaps last week.
Exactly.
They were out there running him. They were running him out there like he got picked up for possession of marijuana. You going to play the whole game. It better look right. I'm still trying to figure out why the Bears sent that out. Do you, like, was that them being like, hey, man, we're sorry, but this is for the betterment of the team, and we're sorry that you're going to pay these full prices on this game that's going to have mostly second, third, and fourth string players.
Friday night dump.
You're right. That is the epitome of it. They didn't think I was on the air. Well, guess what? I'm back. Me and Jim Brown. Shout out to Bernie Mac, RIP. Is your quarterback, like, good? Is he experienced, Jimi Hendrix? He doesn't need to work. That's not what I saw against Denver. Now, I could be wrong, but it seemed like there were some things that were working, like Anthony Miller. Man, I love it. Let's go. Let's go, Nagy. Let's go. Let's be bold. It better work, though. Do you think that, does he flip this around? Does all of a sudden, like, next Thursday, they go out there and go bananas? Like, our starters are going to play on Thursday. It better work. Julie's going to come in here and talk with me next here on The Score. A couple of texters have voiced their opinion. A bunch of people are mad at me because I'm not homering it up right now. I'm sorry. 224 texter says, oh, they didn't look like they handled the noise well in preseason half full stadium in Denver. That's from Rob. 630 texter says, if the Bears look sloppy week one versus Green Bay, less will be Matt Nagy's worst nightmare. I'm just going to say this right now. If they look sloppy in week one against Green Bay, I'm going to be Matt Nagy's worst nightmare. We already got the show planned out, Jules. September 10th, 6 o'clock. Let's get it. That's where we're at. How about that for the news dump? The Bears are like, hey, I know you were planning to come down to Soldier Field tomorrow, see your favorite quarterback. He's not playing tomorrow. Good night.
Yeah, I saw people immediately trying to give away their tickets on Facebook, and I laughed and I laughed.
Herb's trying to give away. That's right. He's trying to give away these tickets right now. Julie, should I even go? I was going to go tomorrow. Should I even go to this?
I mean, what's the weather going to be? It's supposed to be nice tomorrow, right?
I think it's supposed to be hot. I got air conditioning and a nice TV.
Got anything else to do?
Like anything else. Instead of driving down into the traffic that will be the triathlon and the Bears game tomorrow.
Oh, God, I've got to come in tomorrow. I wouldn't. I mean,
the Bears decided to punt. It's great.
This was the week I was like, all right, let's see if the offense finally comes together.
Yeah, let's see some of the players on offense this week. Matt Nagy apparently is like, look, we got it done. Didn't they, though? No.
I mean, because.
But Julie, we don't know. Maybe this practice that they had is as good as they're saying it was. I understand the rationale for doing this, but I think that it makes more sense if you have an established quarterback who's not learning a new system.
I agree. I mean, look, I've been complaining about four preseason games forever because all you do is watch your guys get hurt the last three games. But at the same time, if you take the offense that we saw the last 2 weeks, am I ready to see that run out against Green Bay? Not really.
No. And remember, Mitch didn't play in preseason game number one, and we were all like, oh, well, they're playing five preseason games, so it doesn't matter. They are treating him like he is a known commodity in this league. And my issue is that he is not. He has not earned that reputation yet. Now, perhaps they think that he has because of what they've seen in practice this week.
For 1 week? Don't you need more than, I mean, isn't repetition sort of the name of the game? Don't you have to do it over and over and over?
They did it in practice.
I mean, he was having trouble handling snaps.
You didn't see that. It's fake news. The top of the hour is brought to you by Chicago Wolves. Want complete flexibility with your ticket plan? The Chicago Wolves Flex Pack provides 10 undated vouchers at a discount. Visit chicagowolves.com for information. Here's what I want people to do. Before you come after me for going after the Bears on this, I want you to go back and watch the Denver game. Just watch the first quarter of the Denver game. And you tell me what the deal is. You tell me if you saw a team that looked ready. That's all. That's all I can judge it on because I wasn't in practice. The Bears saying that they had a great practice and you ain't seeing no starters tomorrow. Someone said they don't want Pat Mahomes to make them look bad. If you think that Mitchell Trubisky isn't going to be compared to Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson every week, you're crazy. Because he is. Because they could have had either one of those guys without giving up draft picks. And they probably could have had Mitch without giving up draft picks. That's your GM. Julie, what are you going to do on the show tonight?
We're going to do a lot. We're going to start off talking about the Bears. At 9:40, Evan Altman's going to be here to talk Cubs. We're going to do some fantasy football with Liz Loza, and then we'll go back to the Bears doing some roster stuff at the end of the show with Carly Bell.
I like that.
It's going to be fun.
It's good to see you, Jules.
Good to see you, too.
I enjoyed your Daniel Murphy column.
Thank you.
There are some people that want you to write another column
now. A lot of people did not enjoy it.
Yeah, you are a polarizing figure, and I love that about you.
I mean.
Do you? That's what it's about.
I did.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Julie DeCaro is coming up next. Show her the same love you show me. Bears not playing the starters tomorrow. Enjoy that trip to Soldier Field. I think I'm going to be watching from the couch. That's okay, right, if I watch from the couch tomorrow? Like, I don't need to go there, right? Like, y'all going to give me, since the Bears are taking it off, I can take it off, right? I can cover that game from the house, right? You'll find out tomorrow. Julie's next here on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.